Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Teamsters win a five-month struggle with Marathon in Minnesota. Workers mobilizing to help recovery efforts following Hurricane Ida. And today on the show, the new president of the Painters and Allied Trades and the top man at the North American Building Trades. Welcome to the Wednesday, September 8th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, don't forget to sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis. Give us a rating. We'd appreciate a five-star rating. And I'll tell you, we got some five-star, maybe 10-star guests today. We have two national presidents. We're going to kick things off with Jimmy Williams Jr., no stranger to the show. He's been on many, many times. And I guess you can say he got a promotion. At the beginning of this month, September 1, Jimmy became the youngest general president in the history of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades. That's right. He began his career with IUPAT back in 1998 as a glazier at District Council 21 in Philadelphia. And then he became an organizing director, worked his way up the ladder to become general vice president, and he replaces Kenny Rigmaiden. Kenny's been there since 2013. So good news certainly for Jimmy Williams Jr. And you may recall his father, Jimmy Williams Sr., was general president some years back, so he's following his dad's legacy with the Painters and Allied Trades. And here's a union that represents a growing community of over 140,000 active and retired craftspeople in the United States as well as Canada. So we'll talk about him taking over the Painters and Allied Trades. We'll touch on the change in leadership with the AFL-CIO, with the passing of Rich Trumka and now Liz Shuler, former Secretary-Treasurer, now in charge. The PRO Act, Jimmy's been on the show many, many times talking about the importance of the PRO Act, now referenced as the Rich Trumka PRO Act, and how that compares to the Employee Free Choice Act. You may recall that happening when Obama was president, and it didn't make it over the finish line. So he's going to compare and contrast what happened there. Painters and Allied Trades, love their website, built by workers, protected by workers, and grown by workers. Sean McGarvey, president of the North American Building Trades Union, better known as NABTU, will be our second guest. And this is an alliance of 14 national and international unions in the building and construction industry, collectively representing over 3 million skilled craft professionals in the United States and Canada. Ironically, Sean began his career with the Painters and Allied Trades, and he knows Jimmy Williams very, very well. He'll touch on that. In 2005, a little history here, Sean was elected Secretary-Treasurer of NABTU, and then in 2012, he was unanimously elected to the office of president. He has done a great job. We're going to talk about the state of the building trades. We'll also talk about Liz Shuler, the NABTU pathway programs. It's so important that people get educated on how you can get into the middle class by becoming an apprentice in the building trades. And they're doing a lot of outreach right now because, you know what? There's a lot of jobs out there, tons of jobs. We're talking six figures in many categories. And Sean is going to talk about that. A lot of young people still opting for college. But, you know, when you take a look at the apprenticeship programs, it's almost like a different kind of college. And Sean's going to address that on the show. NABTU, NABTU.org. is their website. You know, one thing I like about this show, we try as many times as possible to reach to the top. And we've been so fortunate over the years to get people in presidential positions. I mean, I mentioned Rich Trumka, Liz Shuler, Tom Conway, the steelworkers, Leo Girard when he was general president. We had Jim Hoffa on from the Teamsters, Stuart Applebaum from the retail and commercial workers. Remember Bill Burris? He headed the Postal Union. He's passed away. Randy Weingarten, head of the American Federation of Teachers. Just show you the impact of the show and how we will strive to get more international presidents on the show. Good news for the Teamsters. After more than 5 months on the picket line, around 200 Teamsters, members of Local 120, have returned to work at the Marathon Oil Refinery in St. Paul Park, Minnesota. We've been on this story for some time, so it's good to hear that they finally came to some resolve here. The return followed the workers' ratification of the firm's third offer after the first two were rejected. Marathon, the nation's largest independent refiner, originally locked out the workers in the middle of winter, January 22nd. In the meantime, bargaining with Marathon was like beating your head against the wall for 6 weeks. That comment from Ryan Bierman, one of the bargaining team members. The company called it an economic strike, but safety was the real issue in the struggle. And while the workers didn't win all that they wanted, one of the business agents, Scott Kruna, said the key gain was a ban on Marathon outsourcing safety jobs. That was really crucial. I remember talking about that on the show. It had been doing so, giving the jobs to untrained, out-of-state workers. How many times have we heard that happen? The Teamsters took their struggle to both the wider community and to the state capitol building in St. Paul, where the legislature agreed to language in a money bill mandating all refineries in the state maintain a full-time paid on-site fire department. That was not the case until the Teamsters made it a case. They also hit the Marathon shareholders meeting in Findlay, Ohio. So a lot of embarrassment on behalf of what the Teamsters did, but you know what? It worked. It worked. I hope that same kind of strategy will help the coal miners out at Warrior Met. They've been on strike since April 1 now. The American Federation of Teachers is helping members affected by Hurricane Ida with a disaster relief fund. You might want to check this out. Just go to aft.org, aft.org. Randy Weingarten, who I just mentioned, is president. She said, even as the storm rolled through Louisiana, hospitals stayed open with nurses putting their own safety on the line to care for their patients as COVID-19 continued to ravage the area. Hurricane Ida is the most recent and upsetting reminder of just how climate change is affecting our communities and causing more extreme weather. Fighting for solutions to the climate crisis is something we're committed to both in and out of the classroom. There's also a place you can send money to. The Louisiana AFL-CIO is also providing relief to affected union members. Checks can be made out to the Louisiana AFL-CIO Disaster Relief Fund. They're located at 429 Government Street, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The zip code is 70802. And if you go to the AFT website, all that's is posted there, aft.org. And a little shout out here to the electrical workers. We're talking about Local 763. They set off from Omaha, Nebraska, traveling to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to help the people as a result of Hurricane Ida. Just another example of what labor does in America in a time of need. All right, quick break. When we come back, the new president of the Painters and Allied Trades.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
To Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And of course, you can check us out on Facebook. A lot of people doing that. And following us on Twitter. AWF Union Podcast is our Twitter handle. Well, let's go to line number one. And welcome back to the show. In a new position, I might add. We had Jimmy Williams on the show many, many times. And in that position, in weeks or months past, it was a vice president position. That's no longer the case because at the beginning of September, he became the general president of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, IUPAT.org. And in doing so, he is the youngest president of any building trades union in the country and the youngest among unions affiliated with the AFL-CIO. Jimmy Williams, how old are you? Let me ask you that right off the bat, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Flash. I'm an old 43.
An old 43. Okay, I'm not even going to mention my age. But, hey, congratulations to you, my man. That is an awesome accomplishment, and you're following the footsteps of your dad. Your dad was a frequent visitor to our show here. And how's he doing, by the way? He's got to be really proud of you.
Yeah, he's doing really good. And obviously, you know, having somebody be able to follow in your footsteps, I'm sure he's very proud. Very proud.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Ken Rigmaiden did a great job. Ken was general president, I believe, in 2013. He retired at the end of August. Talk to me about the transition period, because I know you've been with the union since, what, 1998 as a glazier, District Council 21. You had a number of positions coming up the ladder. But talk to me. Let's start off with this transition. You kind of knew this was coming, I would imagine. Talk to me about that, Jimmy.
Yeah, Flash, I think an opportunity like this doesn't happen so often in the labor movement. Not only Ken is retiring, but so is our Secretary Treasurer, George Gallus, who served in that role for over 18 years. And same with three of our national vice presidents in the United States. We literally have new people in just about every single position, and we've been planning on it for over a year. It's a testament to Ken and his long-term vision of having young people step into important roles within the union. And it's an exciting time.
How do you feel about this team? It sounds like you indicated, you put a lot of work into it, but I would imagine there's been a couple of meetings, game plan. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, for the course of the last year, we've been very open with our leadership at the district councils and the local unions about having a transition of power that was seamless, and you know, working closely with Ken and the retiring executive board members. We've been able to just lay out our plan for going forward, and thankfully we're able to hit the ground running. And so with new people in positions, all very young, extremely diverse too, we got an opportunity to do things a little bit differently than maybe we have in the past. So it's very exciting. It's an unbelievable challenge, of course, too. And having, you know, this opportunity to represent the membership of our union, I'm a fourth generation member, is probably the most humbling experience for me, at least, and I know for my team as well.
Well, it's great that you got the position, and there's a lot of change in the air. I mean, you know what happened with the AFL-CIO. Sadly, Rich Trumka passing away on the 5th of August. That just stunned so many people. Now you have Liz Shuler in charge of the AFL-CIO, something that she's going to be in charge with, I believe, until next June. And then there's Fred Redmond as Secretary Treasurer taking her place. Let's talk about that, because I know you work very closely with the Labor Federation. First off, let's talk about Liz. Do you have a pretty good rapport with her? And what's your thoughts of her taking over?
I mean, Liz is the right person at the right time. For our labor movement to have in the position of president of the AFL-CIO, a woman in her early 50s that comes from a strong, strong organization like IBEW and has served as secretary treasurer for all this time, you know, Liz is ready and she's the right person. It's a shame how things transpired, you know, and it's still, you know, sad and seeing how, you know, previous President Trump didn't get a chance to enjoy his retirement into the future. But, you know, Liz is the right person at the right time for our movement to have the first woman ever elected to that position and somebody who comes, you know, to the labor movement from the building trades. For us at the Painters Union, we couldn't be more pleased to have Liz Schuler representing our entire movement.
And they got a solid guy in the number two position, Secretary Treasurer, with Fred Redmond. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. I'm real excited, real excited. Let's talk about, I know, and it says this right on your website, when it comes to unions, and all unions are on the same page here, organizing. And this is going to lead into the PRO Act, which is now the Richard Trumka PRO Act. I want to throw that in there. But I'm looking, and we have 140,000 active and retired craftspeople in the United States and Canada, all members of the Painters and Allied Trades. That being said, your general president, you got to be thinking about growing that number. What's your plans here?
I mean, it's the ultimate goal, right? It's the number one goal is to grow our membership and increase our market share. And myself, having had the opportunity over the last 8 to 10 years leading our organizing department at the IUPAT, I can tell you it's organizing is going to remain number one priority. If not, we have an opportunity with some new, fresh, young ideas to take more risk and challenge the norm within our union to make sure that we have the opportunity to capitalize on a moment where organizing is not just the most important thing to our union. It really is to the entire workforce. I mean, we are still at or below 12% of the private sector workforce in this country. There are more than ample opportunities. And if we can bring together the PRO Act, and if we can bring together elements of changing the way labor law works in this country, we have a real opportunity to hit those goals of increasing our membership. And it will be, obviously, the number one priority of our union.
The AFL-CIO for many times has said there's about 60 million people, 60 million in this country, that would like to join a union. But, you know, there's intimidation tactics. You know the drill. I mean, the union busting law firms are out there. You saw what happened at Amazon. I know that's that might have another vote over there. But PRO would change all of that. I'm just wondering, I know this is difficult. There's a lot of Democrats, not a lot of them, but a number of them that still seem to be on the fence. So we don't have any Republican support. With that being said, I'm wondering, you think there's a possibility of this happening this year?
I think there's elements of the PRO Act that can make it into law. I do not think without having a full Senate filibuster proof majority that we can pass the entirety of the bill. Therefore, you know, we got to continue to put pressure on the filibuster. We have to continue to put pressure on those Democrats that are holding out. And we have to continue to push. You know, organizing comes in a number of varieties. It's not just organizing new workers. It's having a plan to politically organize as well. And by keeping the PRO Act front and center within the labor movement going forward, even if we can't get it through the finish line here, we should never take it off the agenda. It should always be a part of our political organizing efforts. Anytime we support a candidate, we have to get the support of passing the PRO Act. And it's just that simple.
Jimmy, you probably remember, I'm sure you remember, the Employee Free Choice Act, which came up during the Obama years.
And that would basically install card check. And I don't think I have to explain that to our audience. I'm wondering if you could compare and contrast that time, the Employee Free Choice Act, with Pro. I'd like to get your opinion on that. What do you think?
My opinion was in 2008 and 2009, it was probably an easier climate to push and pass the Employee Free Choice Act. The only problem was I didn't see enough coming out of the White House to show support for the Employee Free Choice Act. The mm-hmm. difference we have now is that, President Biden, through all of his efforts and actions, have shown and indicated that labor law reform and strengthening labor unions is his number one priority as well. And given us that opportunity domestically, given all the challenges the president is faced with, that's the encouraging part. Back in 2008, we were very, very close to having the 60 majority needed in the Senate. And there was a handful of moderate Republicans, specifically Arlen Specter from the state of Pennsylvania, who was the swing vote on a number of key issues to reach the 60 filibuster-proof majority needed in the Senate. And Arlen Specter said he wouldn't support the Employee Free Choice Act very early in the Obama administration. The irony of it is he switched his party allegiance in his midterm election going into the next year to Democrat and received the support of the labor movement. That can never happen again. Mm-hmm. That can never happen again. Whether or not somebody supports us is going to have to show whether or not they support labor law reform.
Gotcha. Makes a whole lot of sense. I'm glad you did that. There's a lot of people that forget what happened during that time in labor history. The Employee Free Choice Act, better known as EFCA. Yeah, those of you listening, you might want to Google that and you can learn more. But I really relished your answer on that one. You know what? I want to talk about infrastructure. You got time for another segment here on the show?
Sure thing, Flash.
Jimmy Williams Jr. on our live line. He is the new president of the Painters and Allied Trades. IUPAT.org is their main website. And later in the show, Sean McGarvey, president of NAMTU, the North American Building Trades Union. He'll also be joining us back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a 5-star rating. And I have to say, we have a 5-star guest on the show today. Longtime contributor, Jimmy Williams Jr., now General President of the Painters and Allied Trades, IUPAT.org is their website. He started that position on the first day of September. And he's got a great game plan here. I want to talk about infrastructure. And we touched on this in the first segment. Build back better with unions. And that is the mantra of the AFL-CIO. And we've got a guy in the White House that's all about unions. I love that. It's so refreshing. So let's talk about what's on the table right now with infrastructure. How do you feel about going forward?
Well, I think it's been, you know, talked about for so long that we're finally here. And the work that was put in by North America's building trades unions under President McGarvey's leadership of putting together the best possible package that could pass through on a bipartisan level for what we consider to be like hard infrastructure, which is, you know, true construction projects, roads, bridges, highways, airports, schools. You know, that work was hard work because of the fact that we were, and the White House wanted to see a bipartisan effort, and we got there. And we just got to get it to the finish line. But there's more, you know, under the leadership of Speaker Pelosi and the Democratic caucus, pushing through an even bigger, what we would call softer infrastructure plan, with about $3.5 trillion in government spending to create jobs beyond just construction jobs. You know, again, this is an exciting time for the labor movement to be front and center in putting together how this government is going to help stimulate jobs, how this government's going to treat workers, and how the labor movement's going to be a part of it.
Jimmy, do you have any idea how this will help your union? Let's start with the bipartisan agreement, which is just over $1 trillion. I'm wondering if there's been any analysis for the painters and allied trades on what kind of work that this will bring forward. Do you have any idea at this juncture?
Yeah, we do. I mean, first off, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? That's just the reality of how construction spending works in this country. Because infrastructure is also supposed to lead to private sector development as well. So while within the plan itself, we know that we are going to have the opportunity to put a lot of our heavy industrial painting members to work, there's more. You know, we're talking about building and funding airports. That puts all of our commercial glass installers, drywall finishers, commercial painters, puts them back to work too, and puts them to work into the future. Same thing with updating our schools and our energy grid and energy sector. You know, there's going to be opportunities for construction workers into the foreseeable future. Just in the water and wastewater industry alone, I believe the price tag was over $80 billion in the $1.1 trillion. It's a lot of work repainting water towers, tanks, you know, and updating America's infrastructure. Same thing with the highway spending. Being able to update and maintain some of the crumbling bridges and roads. I mean, that's direct jobs for IUPAT members.
Well, what about the apprenticeship programs? I would assume, and maybe you could help me out on this, that with everything that's being discussed in Washington, we know there's going to be something. We know, and there's going to be more. You mentioned the reconciliation package. There's got to be a lot of people, especially young people, in high schools, some of them going to college, and they're saying college is not for me. They've got to be attracted to the apprenticeship programs. How's the painters and allied trades prepared for that right now, Jimmy?
I think we've always been prepared. We need the work, and the way apprenticeship programs work is if we don't have jobs, it's very hard to place people into training programs. And so by having this type of government spending on apprenticeship program or on infrastructure jobs, beefing up our apprenticeship programs to be able to meet the need is paramount. Having somebody like Secretary Walsh that understands the connectivity between apprenticeship programs and jobs gives us a unique advantage, because within the federal government, whenever there is government spending on projects, as long as employers that are bidding on it have registered Department of Labor programs, they're able to utilize the apprenticeship programs directly. And that's a real important link to making sure that people have those opportunities.
Another question here, Jimmy. Biden made it pretty specific about the infrastructure plan going forward, that he wanted union jobs to be created. I know Liz Shuler said that in a recent interview on Bloomberg TV. It's got to be union. And if and you're talking about taxpayer dollars, you want to make sure that the jobs are union. How confident are you going forward? I mean, we got the right people in place. We got the right guy in the White House. You mentioned Marty Walsh. He was on the show for our Labor Day special that we did. I'm just wondering, and you know, I mean, I'm facing the reality here, as you are. There's a lot of people in Congress that don't like unions. And I'm just wondering if there's going to be a tug of war trying to manipulate some of this legislation going forward. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I got a couple thoughts on that. First off, nothing's ever handed to us. Right. Within the way labor unions are viewed and treated, we're going to have to fight for every job we can get going into the future. And that's important to note. Nothing's ever handed to a labor union. But secondly, we have the right people in place to be able to fight. One of the things that this White House did was they put together the White House Task Force for Worker Empowerment. And, you know, there's been numerous recommendations that our union and other unions have sent forth to the federal government on what they can do to ensure that these jobs become union and that unions have the opportunity to make sure that they are. And that's an important element. That's being head up by Vice President Kamala Harris and Marty Walsh. They're both chairing the committees. And the door is open for us to provide recommendations on things the government can do right away without legislation to make sure that we give workers a voice in this country and that they're a part of our path forward.
There's no question the time is now. Again, going back to the right people in place in Washington, you've got sentiment for unions at a 60-year high. Gallup has done a number of surveys, and they have found, I believe it was around 65 to 66% of the American public is in favor of unions. And I mentioned earlier, 60 million people would like to join a union if given the opportunity. And again, there's so many things that get in the way of that. That's the unfortunate thing. But I'll tell you, I like the timing on everything. I like the timing of the fact that you are now the general president of the Painters and Allied Trades. All I can say is I'm going to let you go back to work because I know you got a lot on your plate. But if you would be so kind, if we could check in on a regular basis and see how the agenda is moving forward. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me, Flash.
You take care. Once again, Jimmy Williams Jr., the new president of the Painters and Allied Trades, looking for good things under his leadership. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we have another president joining us, and that would be Sean McGarvey, president of the North American Building Trades Unions. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's L-I-U-N-A. .org.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two and welcome the president of the North American Building Trades Unions, better known as NABTU, and that would be Mr. Sean McGarvey. Hey, Sean, welcome back to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, Ed, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
You know, it's interesting. We just got off the line with Jimmy Williams Jr., who at the beginning of September took over as general president of the Painters and Allied Trades. And I see you come from the Painters and Allied Trades. And what was it? Also the same local, is that right?
Yeah, same local union. I was bought up by his father. So I know Jim Williams Jr. since probably he was 2 or 3 years old.
Good union blood in that family, huh?
Well, no doubt, and the backstory to that is his mother was my babysitter when I was, 2 years old, and my family bought her family's house in the new neighborhood we moved into, and she was my babysitter.
Oh, my God. What a connection there. Yeah, we're excited for him, and he's going to be a great union leader, and a lot of good things to come under his leadership at the Painters and Allied Trades. Well, I wanted to catch up with you. A lot has passed since we last talked with you, and one of those who has passed is Rich Trumka, president of the AFL-CIO. I want to start right there. I saw the comments that you posted on your website, and if you don't mind, I'd like to get some words of condolences on behalf of Rich's family here. Maybe you could talk about what he brought to the AFL-CIO. Let's start there, Sean.
Well, first of all, to Rich's family, people really have no idea how much of the family is sacrificed when you have a position like Rich had. Out there supporting workers everywhere and anywhere in the United States, in North America, across the world. And the family is part of that bargain. So the expectations of what the future was for that family, the Trumka family, were just dashed in a lightning bolt. We're all still shocked by Rich's loss. He was ushering through the most important piece of legislation for working people in this country in decades and decades and decades and decades. And so close, but that voice was so important to getting it there. But we're the labor movement, and as Mother Jones said, mourn the dead and fight like hell for the living. And we're feeling good that the most qualified, most prepared person to be the president of the AFL-CIO, in my opinion, in its history, has now assumed the position, voted in by acclamation, Liz Shore. And we will get completely behind her and help her as she steers the ship to try to raise the standard of living for union members and working people in the United States.
Yeah, I like what you said on their website. Liz is a smart, savvy, compassionate, and visionary leader who understands the struggles working families experience. The consummate professional. Yeah, this was very sudden for so many people, but she's definitely prepared. I mean, she had the number two position since Rich came in office in 2009, And speaking of number two, I'm sure you know Fred Redmond. I love Fred. He was on the show a couple of weeks back. Any thoughts on Fred Redmond being the secretary treasurer?
You know, with the building trades, we're really excited about Fred's position as secretary treasurer. It's going to give us a lot more opportunity to work closely with Fred. He's been working on us, particularly around Pittsburgh, on some of the apprenticeship readiness programs that we've stood up out there. Fred's been integral to that. He's been a huge supporter. He's one of those people that really understands the building trades and what we're trying to do and how we can lift people up. And we're looking forward to his leadership when it comes to communities of color, women, formerly incarcerated folks that we're trying to help to make connections with us and help lead us to tens of thousands of more people getting on that pathway to the middle class through our training program. So we're really excited about Fred and wish him our heartiest congratulations.
They did a really good job on that We Supply America tour. So it's so important. I want to talk about infrastructure with you because that is a big issue that's been discussed for many, many years. And we finally have some legislation that has some teeth into it. Before we get to that, though, Sean, what about the state of the building trades? I mean, you've been through a lot. You're essential workers through the pandemic. For me, you're always essential, okay? Let's put it that way. But what about the state of the trades with what's going on in the not just the country, but the entire world with the pandemic? Go ahead.
Well, it's been, something that none of us have ever experienced. The leadership of my governing board of presidents, when quite honestly, we weren't getting any leadership out of the former administration. When it came to the construction industry and our members and their families, worked with our CPWR, our health and safety arm, to put the protocols in that we just, we moved out across the country in lieu of the Department of Labor, the Secretary of Labor in the last administration, sitting on his hands. So, we weathered the storm. We've lost plenty of members, family members affected in all the same ways as everybody else in the country. But I must say, as proud a moment as I personally have ever had being a union member in general and a building trades member in particular, if you think about, I was out at the UA's convention last week and told them 4,000 delegates assembled, thank you. Thank you, not just on behalf of me and my family, everybody at NAPTU and everybody in this country, because when we were hunkered down and weren't sure what was going on or what was going to happen, they were out there. Mm-hmm. They kept the water systems running.
Right.
Right. They built temporary hospitals and sometimes temporary morgues. They kept the oxygen supply running to ventilators in hospitals all across North America. So, they were essential. All the rest of the building trades members were essential. Their self-sacrifice for their country is second to none always, and they got it done, and we're better for it, and now we're looking forward to the next major piece of legislation from the Biden administration to take us to the next level, because the Biden Rescue Program, that piece of legislation, I have told people, is the most significant piece of legislation for the poor, the working families, and the middle class in this country that any president has signed in my lifetime. There's a big difference between rhetoric on a campaign trail and then actually doing what you said you're going to do. And it's just unbelievable that the tens of millions of people that got help with maintaining their health care, getting direct cash infusion, the child tax credit, which is going to open the doors to so many more women to come into building trades training programs. The multi-employer pension rescue, that piece of legislation was just unbelievable. And hats off to him and Vice President Harris and the Speaker and the Majority Leader. Without those folks in those positions, it does not happen.
Yeah.
And boy, it did. And the working people in this country really deserve that. Now it's on the infrastructure, the PRO Act, and the CARE infrastructure.
Well, let's talk about the bipartisan deal, because we've got a solid framework there. And then obviously they want to take it even further with that reconciliation bill. How do you feel about the components in the bipartisan deal, Sean?
You know, $550 billion of new spending, you know, an additional 400 plus billion, I'm sorry, of existing statute programs that are plussed up. It is really going to set this country on the right course in this uber competitive world that we're in. And it's going to give us some breathing room because the way we were going, we were ceding the economic superpower status to China. And with the pro-American provisions that this administration and the Congress is promoting and putting in legislation, and that investment, that generational investment, multi-generational investment, is going to create pathways for lots of folks to go to the middle class in the manufacturing sector and in the construction sector. And we're going to have good, family-sustaining, middle-class jobs through those investments with the Davis-Bacon coverage in them programs. Like any piece of legislation, it wasn't perfect, but we are fully supportive of it and anxious to get it to the president's desk.
Sean, what about the union components? You touched on prevailing wage, and you know, I mean, you've been down this road for quite some time. There's a lot of members of Congress that don't like prevailing wage. You've seen it repealed in various states. You got the right to workers in there. Do you feel confident moving forward that all those union-friendly components are going to stay in this legislation? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, the legislation that's going to be taken up by the House is basically going to be the legislation that came from the Senate. So all the provisions that are encompassed in that legislation, including Davis-Bacon Act coverage and provisions for federally funded construction, are in there. Now, that doesn't make it, you know, it doesn't make it a union job, but what it says is that we're going to have fair competition where we know that we can compete and win as union contractors. Mm-hmm. And even if we lose, as long as they don't cheat them, those open shop workers are going to get paid what they're supposed to get paid on programs that are being funded out of that legislation. So we're very pleased and, like I said, anxious to get at the president's desk.
It's part of leveling the playing field, which is what unions fought for and died for so many years. So important. So important. I'm glad you pointed that out.
As you know, I'm paid by the members of the building trades across North America.
Uh-huh.
As the president of NABTU. But I work for all construction workers out there when it comes to this kind of legislation and those kinds of labor protections. My members happen to pay for the folks in the open shop who don't belong to unions to get these things done, and they do it willingly because they believe a rising tide lifts all boats.
There you go. Sean, any idea how many jobs will be coming out of that, or is it kind of premature at this stage?
You know, and I can tell you between the chip bill, okay, which is the China bill that was done, there's about, that's $250 billion bill to get us out of this situation with the supply chain issues where we've got, you know, pickup trucks and cars stacked up in yards because we don't have the right computer chips.
Uh-huh.
Get them on lots. And then on top of that, the infrastructure bill and then the reconciliation bill. Untold numbers of jobs. I mean, it's we're talking millions of jobs, and not just jobs, good jobs, the opportunity for people to plant their feet and set themselves on a course for a great career and a life in the middle class. It's that big.
Sean, there's one more issue I know you want to address. It's called NABTU's pathway programs, and you often say it's the pathway to the middle class. Can you give us some details on that?
Yeah, and, you know, again, I like to say the building trades is good at a lot of things. Marketing's not one of them. But we are really hitting our stride with our apprenticeship readiness programs, which you have quite a few around the Pittsburgh area. We're running, you know, from about 15 of them about 18 years ago to 200 programs across North America where we're targeting communities of color, at-risk communities, formerly incarcerated, women, displaced workers, bringing them through our apprenticeship readiness program, which is a 6-week program, and then bringing them into our apprenticeships programs, our registered apprenticeship programs, which then teaches them the skill sets over the course of that apprenticeship that they and their family are going to be securely in the middle class you know, for two generations. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about the opportunity, especially with the child tax credit that was in the rescue bill that's now going to give women and men who have responsibility for the children in their household the opportunity, because they're going to have some resources to be able to pay for it, to come into our programs. And after a year and a half or so, you know, their wage structure will be high enough where they'll be able to afford it, no problem. And, you know, it's going to create this pathway through those apprenticeship readiness programs for, honestly, tens of thousands of folks that deserve it, want it, and we want them. So mm-hmm. we're excited about what we're going to be able to do to help the next generation of craft professionals come in through that infrastructure bill and through that child tax credit program, and rightfully gain their place at the table of the middle class.
And talk about a program that's needed. I mean, you just mentioned how many jobs, millions of jobs are going to be created here in the next several years. And these are, again, family-sustaining jobs. We need people. We need the training. We need the apprenticeship programs in place to make sure that we have a big workforce to deal with, a diverse workforce, as you pointed out. I like that. One more question here I have to ask you, and we talk to the building trades members all around the country quite often on the show, and the conversation often comes up about, you know, these schools, they'd like to push kids toward college, and there's a lot of kids, as you well know, they don't belong in college, and the trades could be that pathway. Do you see that in any way changing, Sean? Yeah, I'm just wondering, especially now with all the good things happening in government, like these infrastructure programs. What's your take on that?
Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, you're right, Ed, and I'll say you're half right, because in our training programs, in the registered apprenticeship system in the building trades, almost everybody that goes through an apprenticeship, those apprenticeship training programs are connected with community college. In some cases, they're their own community college, accredited uh-huh. community college. So they're coming out with an associate's degree while they're earning as they learn and not accruing any debt. And then we have programs after that where they can go and they can do their last 2 years distance learning and get their bachelor's degree. So they can accomplish getting a bachelor's degree, learning skill sets that will last them for a lifetime in the middle class, and the sky's the limit for them.
You
know, we're terrifically excited about that. And there's a lot of movement, quite honestly, Ed, a recognition that, you know, they were not giving always the best advice for the kids that were in 9th, 10th, 11th grade about, you know, what their future opportunities were. And they forced parents into thinking if they didn't get their kids into college, whether they wanted to be there or not, they were failures parents. I think mm-hmm. that recognition is changing. And all I can tell you is, you know, the amount of people that are coming into our training programs that have a bachelor's degree is stunning, because they've chosen their career path, gotten that degree in their chosen profession, and now they're starting to get married and have children, and they're figuring out they can't make a middle-class living in that occupation, and they're coming into our training programs. So I think it's changing, maybe not quick enough, but it's definitely changing, where the realization, hey, you know, you could be a $100,000 electrician, pipe fitter, sheet metal worker, painter with tremendous benefits, you know, all over this country. And that's a real middle-class lifestyle.
Well said, my man. I knew I'd get a good answer out of you on that, because I am seeing that change happen as we speak. Sean, I'm going to let you go. It's always a pleasure checking in with you. I want to do this like on a quarterly basis, maybe toward the end of the year, the beginning of next year. Can we set that up perhaps down the road? What do you think?
Absolutely, Ed, and I look forward to that.
You take care, stay safe, and we'll talk down the road, all right?
Thanks, Ed.
Once again, Sean McGarvey. I love talking to this guy. And once he gets going, he is on a roll. Sean McGarvey, president of the North American Building Trades Unions. And you can check him out at nabtu.org. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we have the UAW, the operating engineers, and a New York carpenter remembering 9/11. He was there on that day. That's tomorrow. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.